రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ఫోర్త్ క్యాంటో చాప్టర్ 21 టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 24. యావద్దరేత్కరం రాజా ప్రజాధర్మేష్వశిక్షయన్ ప్రజానాం శమలం భుంక్తే భగం చ స్వం జహాతి సః య ఉద్ధరేత్ కరం రాజా ప్రజాధర్మేష్వ శిక్షయన్ ప్రజానాం శమలం భుంక్తే భగం చ స్వం జహాతి సః య ఉద్ధరేత్ కరం రాజా ప్రజాధర్మేష్వ శిక్షయన్ ప్రజానాం శమలం భుంక్తే భగం చ స్వం జహాతి సః. యావద్దరేత్కరం రాజా ప్రజాధర్మేష్వ శిక్షయన్ ప్రజానాం శమలం భుంక్తే భగం చ స్వం జహాతి సః. యావద్దరేత్కరం రాజా ప్రజాధర్మేష్వ శిక్షయన్ ప్రజానాం శమలం భుంక్తే భగం చ స్వం జహాతి సః. ప్రజాధర్మేష్వ శిక్షయన్ ప్రజానాం శమలం భుంక్తే భగం చ స్వం జహాతి సః. యావద్దరేత్కరం రాజా ప్రజాధర్మేష్వ శిక్షయన్ ప్రజానాం శమలం భుంక్తే భగం చ స్వం జహాతి సః. వైష్ణవీస్, యహ ఎనీవన్ కింగ్ ఆర్ గవర్నర్ ఉద్ధరేత్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్ కరం టాక్సెస్ రాజా కింగ్ ప్రజా ద సిటిజన్స్ ధర్మేషు ఇన్ ఎగ్జిక్యూటింగ్ ద రెస్పెక్టివ్ డ్యూటీస్ అశిక్షయన్ without teaching them how to execute their respective duties. Prajanam, of the citizens. Shamalam, impious. Bhungte, enjoys. Bhagam, fortune. Cha, also. Swam, own. Jahati, gives up. Saha, that king. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada ki. Any king who does not teach his citizens about their respective duties in terms of varna and ashrama, but who simply exacts tolls and taxes from them, is liable to suffer for the impious activities which have been performed by the citizens. In addition to such degradation, the king also loses his own fortune. Purport: a king, governor or president should not take the opportunity to occupy his post without also discharging his duty. He must teach the people within the state how to observe the divisions of varna and ashrama. If a king neglects to give such instructions and is simply satisfied with levying taxes, then those who share in the collection, namely all the government servants and the head of the state, are liable to share in the impious activities of the general masses. The laws of nature are very subtle. For example, if one eats in a place which is very sinful, he shares in the resultant reaction of the sinful activities performed there. It is a Vedic system, therefore, for a householder to call Brahmanas and Vaishnavas to eat at ceremonial performances in his house, because the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas can immunize him from sinful activities. But it is not the duty of rigid Brahmanas and Vaishnavas to accept invitations everywhere. There is, of course, no objection to taking part in feasts in which prasadam is distributed. There are many subtle laws which are practically unknown to people in general, but the Krishna consciousness movement is very scientifically distributing all this Vedic knowledge for the benefit of the people of the world. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhavan Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroh Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any king who does not teach his citizens about their respective duties in terms of varna and ashrama, but who simply exacts tolls and taxes from them, he is liable to suffer for the impious activities which have been performed by the citizens. In addition to such degradation, the king also loses his own good fortune. Hare Krishna. I feel very blessed to be here. And Shri Radha Rasabihari Temple, Juhu Temple is a very favorite place for me and a very memorable place for me, because my opportunity to get connected to the dust of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada happened in this place. When I was chanting 4 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra, I remember sitting in the staircase below there and praying to Lord Narsingadev, please relieve me of all material entanglement from this world and place me at Krishna's lotus feet. So, also I remember how I was very greedy to accumulate more and more Prabhupada books by buying them from BI, and they were giving Prabhupada books at such a throwaway price. You can get SSR book at 10 rupees. So my thanks to all the devotees here. My first bhiksha of mercy came from the hands of His Grace Mukunda Madhav Prabhu. One of the first devotees I was very inspired by here. Rasaraj Prabhu, Kapila Prabhu, and Jiva Goswami Prabhu, and Bhima Prabhu, Brajahari Prabhu, and many devotees here. I might have missed out some other names, but all these devotees have greatly contributed to my spiritual life and helped in awakening my Krishna consciousness. I am eternally grateful to them. If I am sitting here and speaking some words which may make some sense to you, it is only because of their mercy. And whenever I come here, I feel like coming to my home, because although later on I got connected to His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj and joined Chaupati Temple and later sent to Pune Temple, whenever I come here, I am reminded of my old days in IIT, Bombay, when we were students and we used to come here and spend our weekend and learn many wonderful things. Yeah. So, we are reading from the chapter Instructions by Maharaj Prithu. This chapter is full of many good instructions. This particular verse highlights one particular very important theme, that a king should perform his duty as a king. If he does not do that, then he is liable to carry 1/6 of the bad karma of all his citizens. This is very easy to understand, because Srila Prabhupada says in many of his purports, not only the king, the spiritual master, the mother and father, executive heads of the state, or we could put it in one word called leader. We can use the word leader. With your permission, I would like to use the word leader in these discussions. Because Prabhupada says all these people are in responsible positions. And they have people who are dependent on them. For example, your mother in a family, for example, she is dependent on her husband for the resources that will be brought. And also husband is supposed to also spiritually be elevated and guide the family members. At the same time, she becomes a shelter giver to her children. In the same manner, we all will see, we take shelter and we give shelter to others. We have both the types of roles in our life. And both should be perfectly performed there. And while offering such shelter, if a leader ignores, as he says here, he collects taxes, but he does not give good instructions to people who are his praja, what will happen to him? Then he will go to hell along with them. Or he will have to suffer terrible punishments along with them. We will read in the pages of Bhagavatam, when the 4 Kumaras were stopped at the gates of Vaikuntha by Jaya and Vijay, they become angry and they curse them, which is well known. At that time, Lord Vishnu comes to the gate of Vaikuntha and speaks to the Kumaras. There he tells them that, oh, my dear great sages, it is my fault that I have not trained my servants to treat you properly. I am even ready to lop off my hands, if you want, for the mistake that they have committed. Because when servants commit a mistake, the master becomes liable to punishment. Just like I have seen, when I was a small child, I sometimes used to go to the neighbor's home, and I would be playing with the neighborhood boy, and then sometimes he would pick up a quarrel. You know, you pinch him, and the child starts crying very loudly. Immediately that mother will come out of the home, and she will come to our home and to pick up a fight with my mother, you know, which is very common in India. You can see that. You know, because naturally the connection is there. If one child commits a mistake, then the mother and father become, they are put into trouble. You can understand that. In the same manner, here he is saying, the king is called as Naradev, which means he is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he is supposed to help people see Krishna, God, through him, by acting as a transparent via media. But when a person doesn't do that, when will a person not do that? It's likely when a king becomes infatuated or becomes distracted from his goal in life, then he is liable to fail in this duty. Like the other day we were hearing from Prabhupada's lecture, Prabhupada said sometimes when one is elevated to the post of a king or a leader, one thinks all this money is my father's property. And he just enjoys it. That is infatuation. One just enjoys all the wealth and forgets his duties. Just like Sugriva. Sugriva is a typical example. You know, Sugriva was in a very wretched condition. Lord Ram helped him to kill Vali and put him on the post as a king. And once Sugriva occupied the post, he forgot his duty to Ram. He became intoxicated in wine, and he had many women associates. And day and night he was absorbed in bhoga vilas, in materialistic pleasures. And Lord Ram had told him that the rainy season has to pass before we can find out Sita. So after the Chaturmas is over, I'll expect a call from you. You should come and help me. And the rainy season passed away, but Sugriva never responded at all. And one day Lord Ram called Lakshman and asked him, what happened? Now 15-20 days have passed after the rainy season, but I didn't hear anything from Sugriva. And Lakshman became angry. Lakshman said, this very day I will send Sugriva to the court of Yamaraj, he said. And Lord Ram said, please don't kill him. I want him to be reformed, in case he has forgotten his duty. So Lakshman took his bow and arrow and he marched towards Kishkindha. When he was going on the road, it is said all the monkeys, they saw, who is this angry man walking like this with bloodshot eyes, and his lips are quivering. So they all picked up their big boulders to prepare themselves for a war. But as soon as Lakshman would turn towards them, they would drop it and run away out of fear. So Lakshman came right in front of the palace and all the ministers and everyone ran to Sugriva to wake him up. Because his ministers are supposed to advise the king. So when they tried to wake up Sugriva, he just turned around this way and that way and sleeping peacefully. He was drunken on wine, surrounded by so many female monkeys. So Angada came and caught hold of his feet and begging, uncle, get up. Lakshman has come. Still he didn't pay attention. Until Lakshman twang his bow. Dak, 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 dak. Immediately he jumped up from his bed. What is this? Threatening sound. Life-threatening sound. He said, I told you Lakshman has come. He is very angry. So he told Tara, you go in the front. Because you know, if a person like Lakshman, who is pure in character, if you send a woman, he will not even look at you. He will look at your feet. He will become subdued. And he'll become submissive in his anger. Because such a person is supposed to be gentlemanly while dealing with woman. First let him deal with you like that and then I will come, he said. So Tara went and told him, my dear sir, why do you become so angry? You see, in this world even sages and saints become a victim of sense pleasures in this world. What to speak of a simple monkey like Sugriva. Please forgive him. And all that, she pacified him. And after that, Lakshmana became a little pacified, hearing that Sugriva is willing to surrender to Ram. And then Sugriva came out. Lakshmana was taken in, and then Lakshmana's anger still persisted. But then Sugriva threw off his garland to the throne, and he fell at the feet of Lakshmana and said, "I admit, Lakshmana, that I have forgotten my duty. I became bewildered by sense pleasures. I became carried away, swayed away by the current of sense pleasures. And I completely forgot my vachan to Ram." And then Lakshmana became happy. After that, he took Sugriva to Ram, and subsequent things happened. And this can happen to anybody in this world, because we are living in the world of Maya. When one is given the position and post of a leader, one can become dragged by sense pleasures, which come in various ways. The topmost of which is attraction for the opposite sex, and then affluent wealth, and one becomes influential by having abundant followers, and in this way one can become dull-headed, one can become one can be rendered dull by sense gratification, and one can forget one's duty towards God. Or a king can also become, what I just now told is an example of distraction in the duty of a king. He became distracted by sense pleasures. But one can also become infatuated. You know, in the Mahabharata, there is a story of how Nahusha, he was a very good king. You see, the Puranas and Shastras are giving examples of people with good nature and good character falling from their purity, falling from their standards. Why? That is to show that even a noble-minded person can become a victim of the power of Maya. What then to speak of those who are afflicted with varieties of degrees of anarthas already? So the Shastras always take extreme examples in order to show us the nature of the material world. So at one time, the demigods wanted a Indra. Indra was out of post. There was no Indra. It was empty. So they were very afraid. They thought that the demons may overpower us. We immediately need somebody in this place. And then they came to this world and they searched for a suitable king. And they found that Nahusha had done 98 yajnas. Only two were missing. And they thought that two demigods came together and they said, "We will give him benefit of one yajna and then elevate him to heaven." So they went and proposed him the idea. And Nahusha said, No, I don't want to be king. He said, "I don't want to be Indra. I am a simple king. Please leave me." He was very humble, very humble king. But then the demigods said, "No, for the sake of duty, for the sake of the welfare of the world, you should accept this position." And somehow they convinced him. And they took him to heaven. He was elevated to heaven. And when Indra came to heaven, he was bowing down to everyone. When Nahusha came, he touched the feet of everyone. Practically he was on the ground. He was even bowing down to the throne also. But then once he occupied the throne, gradually he became infatuated. He became proud. Because there is so much of worship, so much of honor, so much of influence over others. One tends to become very proud. He became extremely infatuated. And he started dominating everyone, especially the Brahmanas. At one point of time, in the demigod community, there was a talk. They said, "Okay, he may be a great king, he is keeping everyone under control. But what about the Brahmanas?" So he called the Brahmanas and he told them to lift his palanquin. They lifted his palanquin. So they said, "Oh, he has controlled the Brahmanas also." Then somebody else spoke. Many things. One of the talks was that, the Sachi, who is the wife of Indra, previous Indra, she is there, but she has not surrendered to him. That means he could not control her. Then immediately he sent a chit to Sachi, saying that, "Come immediately. I want to have you as my queen." So Sachi became very annoyed. She approached the seven sages, Saptarishis, and asked them, what nonsense is this? I am wife of previous Indra. I am a married woman. How can this fellow call me? Huh? So they said, Vinashakale, Viparita Buddhi. It's a time of destruction of this fellow. You don't worry. They told her, you just send a letter to him saying that I will only entertain you if you come on a palanquin carried by the Saptarishis. She sent a message. And then they all, Saptarishis were called and he told them to carry. You can imagine Saptarishis, such great souls, he told them to carry him on the palanquin. So while sitting on the palanquin, he told them, rush immediately, don't go slow. Amongst them, the shortest one was Agastya. Sometimes people used to call me Agastya because of being very short. Amongst all the seven sages, he's the shortest one. So, he being short, the palanquin was like bending on one side. And the palanquin was going slow. So he shouted at them, sarp, sarp, go fast, go fast. And he took off his feet. In some places it is said he took off his feet and kicked on the head of Agastya. Some people say he spat or whatever. But surely he committed an offense and he got a curse on the spot. You're saying, sarp, sarp, go quickly, you become sarp. What was the result? He glided down the antariksha and he came to the Himalayan regions and became a mountain snake there. And he became ignorant. Shishi Radha Raspihari Lata Vishakaki Shishi Gau Nitaiki Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanki. So he became a mountain serpent in Himalayan range. Later on he was, there's a long story in Mahabharata how Bhima came on the way and Yudhishthira came, and he was an ignorant snake, ignorant of his identity. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj gave answers to his spiritual quest. And then he got the answers and he became enlightened. Then again he ascended to heaven after that. So this pastime goes to show that a king can become infatuated by pride, or can become blinded by lust. Such things can happen to somebody in leadership position. Or one may take all the wealth and enjoy the pleasures of the world and forget one's duties completely. That is why when Narada came once to the Maya Sabha in Indraprastha, he asked King Yudhishthira, my dear king, are you performing religion at the cost of profit, or are you aiming your mind on profit at the cost of religion, or are you completely succumbing to the pleasures of the world, forgetting religion and profit? And such succumbing of pleasures takes you to hell. Tell me, out of the three, in which one are you engaged? He asked him. It's a very sensible question, because a king has to balance between religion and profit. If a king becomes only religious and he does not subdue the thieves and rogues in the country, he does not keep law and order in the country, then he'll be overthrown and all the public will be suffering. People's money will be looted, women will be mishandled and everything. On the other hand, if a king focuses his attention on expanding his kingdom and getting more and more wealth, prestige and followers, then the king may give up religion and he may become more passionate. He may ignore the good advice of brahmanas. He may ignore the ministers. And he may give up religion. So he will become disconnected from God. And by becoming disconnected, then over a period of time, he will become irreligious. And that will lead him to falling down to the worldly pleasures. And the third thing, pleasure. If a king is focusing his attention on drinking, smoking and absorbed in opposite sex, such kind of activities, he cannot be considered a king at all. He has forgotten his duty to the citizens. He becomes simply animalistic. Like you hear about kings who kill their brothers and put their father in jail simply for the sake of insatiable greed. So we have many examples for that. We have innumerable examples for that. So in this way, firstly the king has to be a responsible king. So a king is following the path of dharma, Then he will worry about the citizens also. That they have to be also be led on the path of dharma. If everyone has to attain the ultimate goal of life. That is why it is said here, in the purport, Prabhupada is saying, he must teach the people within the state how to observe the divisions of varna and ashrama. If a king neglects to give such instructions and is simply satisfied with levying the taxes, then those who share in the collection, and all of them are liable to share in the impious activities. So here it's explained what is the duty of a king and towards his citizens. The king, one of the first and foremost duties towards the citizens is to establish every citizen in varna and ashrama properly. This is situating them. You see, when Rudra was born from the in between the eyebrows of Lord Brahma, you know, he cried loudly. That's why he's called Rudra. And what did he ask? He said, please give me a place to stay. Please give me an identity, he said. Immediately Brahma told him, don't worry. I'll give you 11 places. You are 11 Rudras, so I situate you in 11 places. And you will have 11 names, and you will have 11 Rudranis also. So he gave him wives, and he situated them properly. Then they became peaceful. So everyone has to be stably situated in a position where they will not commit sinful activities. Where they will not fall prey to prohibitions given in the scriptures. So they have to be stably situated there. That is why there is brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. Then there is also brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. These positions are given. If one situates oneself in that, then one will be safe. You will find in the first canto, what is the situation of Kali Yuga? It's explained in the first canto. Harakshyamana striya urvibhalan shochasyato purushadairi vartan vacham devi brahma kule kukarmani abrahmanye rajya kule kulagrayan. You see, the cow and the bull are talking to each other. The cow is Mother Earth in the form of a cow. And bull is dharma personified. In that discussion, the bull is asking the cow, my dear cow, why are you weeping? What is the cause of your lamentation? And he is asking many questions to her. One of the questions is this, arakshyamana means unprotected. Are you lamenting that is in this age of Kali Yuga, women and children will be unprotected? Prabhupada writes there, he says that, like when Prabhupada was going in the train, even in his times, he saw women traveling alone. In his times, it is very rare to find a woman without a family traveling alone in a train. Long distances, especially. And he saw the men smoking. And he said, Kali Yuga is progressing. He thought. So in the same manner, he says, the women become unprotected. How? Circumstantially, he says, woman will get separated from man and want to live independently. Now many women may say, why a divorce happened in a family? I am not the cause, the man is the cause. Yes, it is likely man may be the cause, but circumstantially purposes. Circumstantially woman gets separated from man and they live independently. There is a misunderstanding. Who is superior? I am superior or you are superior? I can live independently. I am also educated. I have my job and whatever. Some reason they get separated, because of which women become unprotected. A lonely woman is liable to be attacked by other men in society. She cannot live a very peaceful life. And also he says how, or else a woman may become a divorcee and again marry. These things are very common in Kali Yuga. That's why there was a cartoon which said, my children, your children and our children, all are playing together in the garden. A man is telling his wife. And this is not uncommon in Kali Yuga. So my children means the children whom I begot in the womb of another woman. And your children are those born to you from another man. And our children are after we both became divorced, we married together. So this is Kali Yuga situation for the woman, which is being spoken here also. They are not situated properly. Unstable situation. Say a woman has divorced, but she is not remarried, then such a woman or a widow, she can also become a great threat for the brahmachari order, celibate order. If a brahmachari and a widow, they intimately associate, then there will be illicit connection. Kaliyuga is the age of illicit connection. And illicit connection makes everything impure. Everything cracks apart by that. And also the children, yes, children are also unprotected. And he says, Vacham Devi Brahma Kuleku Karmani. Vacham Devi is Saraswati. Saraswati, who emanates from the lips of the Brahmanas, she is actually supposed to be engaged in the Lord's service by speaking Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and such literatures. But the Brahmanas traditionally are very intelligent, Prabhupada says. And now in Kali Yuga, what they will do? They will use their intelligence for studying technology and science. They will use it for that, to get some big degrees in the form of papers. And their intelligence will become controlled by the administrative lords who, in the name of a secular state, will run the whole country atheistic. So two things are said here. That the brahmanas will become subordinate to the administrators. Just for the sake of earning money. Like today you find people joining big companies earning, they want to earn a 5-digit salary, very big salary, big money. And they are ready to sell their brain, sell their intelligence. They are giving their body, mind and soul for studying material science. And absolutely nothing to give and take with shastras. Like when I was in South India, one Sri Vaishnava was telling, I have two sons, he said. My younger son is very intelligent. I have sent him to America, he said. And my elder son is a muff. I have sent him to Vedic Pathshala, he said. Let him recite some Vedic mantras and learn some puja path. This is the outlook people in Kali Yuga have. They think religion is religion or Vedic chant and all these things actually is for muff people. And they think intelligent means you have to sell your brain, sell your body, mind, everything. Simply money making business. Vacham Devi Brahma Kule Kukarmani. Kukarma. They use it for kukarma. Destroying themselves, destroying others. And also he says the administrators, they will be muff. They will be dull headed. Why? Because they will not know that unless you please Lord Vishnu, you cannot make people happy. They can never understand this logic. Like I heard Prabhupada speaking to a group of theologians. He was telling them that you see, all the world people are telling that why don't you serve the poor? Why don't you do some social service? That is a very common question people ask. In fact, I read a value education book recently. I saw they said, worship of God. I saw the title. Oh, really? Immediately I turned to that page to see. Let me see what they say. So under the title of worship of God, they're beginning that article saying, does worship of God mean chanting some mantras? Does worship of God mean going to temple, bowing down to God and all that? No, they are saying. Worship of God means, they are saying, that you serve the poor, feed the poor. That is worship of God. This is what they are teaching children. Which is outright atheism. So Prabhupada, in that lecture he was telling those theologians and everyone, they are saying that love the people, feed the poor and all that they are saying. So while they are feeding the poor on one hand, on the other hand they are cutting the throat of a cow. Not one or two, millions of cows are being sent to slaughterhouse. This goes to prove that the love for humanity is a defective love. It is not perfect love. On the other hand, when one becomes a Krishna devotee, like Mrigari, when he became Krishna devotee, he refused to put his leg even over an ant. That is real love, because it is complete love. It's very easily understandable. When you love Krishna, you love all living beings. It's like a master switch. You press on the master switch, then everything is on. Light, fan, refrigerator, everything is on. You switch off master switch, everything is off. All other forms of love are defective love. And it is proven. Like one lady in America, who is working for the protection of animals. She saw, you know, there was a pole to which a dog was tied, and the string and the rope was very short. Immediately she complained, you know, in America they sue if somebody does a mistake. That fellow had to pay a very big fine because he inconvenienced the dog, because the rope was not long enough. She went home and she ate eel. That was her breakfast. She's eating the flesh of a fine calf, but she is unable to see the connection. Just see how surprising it is. Like you see, a man, a son was asking a father who took a chicken in his hand. He was making sound. He took a knife and slit off his throat and killed. And the son was screaming. So he asked the father, "My dear father, you are killing this innocent creature. I see that when I remove my nail with a blade, a little bit if it cuts, I feel so much pain. Don't you feel that?" Because he couldn't see the connection. So this is Kali Yuga leaders. They are proud of being leaders, of running a secular state where they say, serve the people. You don't have to serve God. What is the meaning of secularism? Secularism means you give independence to every citizen to express his love and affection for God in his own way. If somebody is a Muslim, he wants to read Quran, he should be allowed to read Quran. You allow Hindus to read Bhagavad Gita. You allow the Christians to read Bible. Let them all learn to express their faith in God in their own way. Like we have a college in Pune called the AIT College. So in that college they have a temple inside the college. They have a place for the Christians, they have a place for the Muslims, they have a place for Hindus. And there is another empty hall where you can bring some deity, some picture and keep on worship. That is actually beginning of religion. At least one should learn what is dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Beyond that, one will come to bhakti. One will attain love of God gradually. But there is a prohibition even in most of the places to even worship God. In fact, Prabhupada writes in the subsequent verse there, in the first canto, he writes that if a dog is walking in the road and mating with a bitch in the middle of the road, you know, even in the public eye, nobody will say anything. But if a man does the same thing with a woman in the road, that becomes a public nuisance and he will be criminally prosecuted. The same activity, if a man does, he will be criminally prosecuted. He is considered a nuisance. Why? Because that's the meaning of a man. Man is supposed to be more civilized. On the other hand, we find, Prabhupada says, in those days, one Ajamila saw a pair of Shudra and Shudrani embracing and kissing. And he became bewildered, even after so much of purification. He was a Sadachari fellow. He was a Dhritavrata. He was Shruta Sampanna, well read in the Vedas. Even after doing all these things, when he saw that sight, he became bewildered and he fell. Prabhupada says he was a pure Brahmana. He became a wretched urchin in a moment by seeing that sight. If that is so, in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada says the students become, innocent students become victims of cinema houses where they show such scenes again and again and again. Repeatedly, people are promoted, engage in sex life. How can we say they will not fall down to such habits? There was an article in the newspaper just a month ago in Delhi. They said there was a stampede in a school, some dozen girls died, they said. So I just ran through that. What is a stampede? So they are saying in the article below, the girls had their exams ground floor and boys had exams on first floor or something. So they swapped the examination hall. So the boys had to go up, girls had to come down, I think. So when the boys went up, in the crowd of girls, boys moving, some of the boys rushed to the girls and started doing bad things to them, physically, assaulting them physically. And some of the girls jumped off from the first floor. And some of them got crushed in that stampede because of the misbehavior of the boys. And result, 12 girls died. And the parents went to the school, they wanted to put a court case and all that. So why such things are happening? Because it's being promoted in Kali Yuga. These things are promoted through cinemas. See, whatever we see, garbage in, garbage out. He take dirty things in, and dirty things will come in the behavior. Yeah, these things can be practically shown. So unprotected children, unprotected women, unprotected. The brahmanas are not engaging their knowledge in studying. Like we are going to hostels. Hostels give Prabhupada books. They are saying, you are prohibited. Don't give good intelligence to boys. We don't want them to wake up. We want them to remain animals. That's what Prabhupada said. Colleges and schools are spiritual slaughterhouses, Prabhupada said. Very appropriate statement. Yeah. So, that's why the bull is asking the cow. This is the situation of Kali Yuga. So, the administrators, what are they doing? They are busy filling up their pockets. As long as they are in the post and position. And when they know that once I quit the post, I don't know whether I'll again get an opportunity to do this. And everyone is unprotected. This is the plight of Kali Yuga. So, it's very surprising how people stand in the election and want to occupy that post because they don't know they are filling up their pockets with money which will be left behind in this world. They are occupying so many lands and expanding their estates which will be left behind. Because the proprietors of estates in this world are simply like watchmen only. We are all like watchmen in this world. Why? We come in this world, we watch a property and we die and we go away. Just like a watchman is watching the property. So they don't know that. They are busy filling up their pockets. But they don't know one thing they are surely carrying with them, which is 1/6 of the sinful reactions of the praja. That they are surely going to carry with them as they die and go, which is said here. So what is the solution? I would like to read a section from the 5th canto of Bhagavatam, 15th chapter. It's the descendants of Prevrat. There's a description about a great king who lived called as Gaya. You see, what did King Gaya do? He's a very special king. He's a devotee king. So here's a description here. Savai Swadharmena Prajapalena Poshana Preenana Upalalana Anushasana Lakshanena Yajya Adinacha Bhagavati Mahapurushe Paravare Brahmani Sarvatmanarpita Paramartha Lakshanena Brahmavit Sharananu Sevaya Padita Bhagavat Bhakti Yogena Cha Abhikshnashaha Paribhavitati Shuddhamatir Uparatanatma Atmya Atmani Svayam Upalabhyamana Brahmatmanu Bhavopi Narabhimana Eva Vanim Aju Gupat. See, the meaning is this. The King Gaya, he gave full protection and security to the citizens so that their personal property would not be disturbed by undesirable elements like thieves and rogues. He also saw that there was sufficient food to feed all the citizens. This is called a poshana. He would sometimes distribute gifts to the citizens to satisfy them. This is called prinama, which means he gave enough food, poshana. And he would give them gifts for the good activities that citizens do. That is called prinama. And he would sometimes call meetings to satisfy the citizens with sweet words. It is called upalalana. He would also give them good instructions on how to become first-class citizens. This is called anushasana. So these are four things. Prinana, poshana, prinana, upalalana, anushasana. Four things. Giving them enough food, giving them gifts for good activities, and calling meetings, chastising the evil, and giving good instructions to the people in general, and calling for meetings and satisfying the citizens with sweet words. Four things. Such were the characteristics of King Gaya's royal order. Besides all this, King Gaya was a householder who strictly observed the rules and regulations of householder life. He performed sacrifices and was an unalloyed pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was called Mahapurusha because as a king gave the citizens all facilities, as a householder he executed all his duties, so that at the end he became a strict devotee of the Supreme Lord. As a devotee he was always ready to give respect to other devotees and to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. This is Bhakti Yoga process. Due to all these transcendental activities, King Gaya was always free from bodily conception. In this way, he rose above lamentation and everything. Although he was perfect in all respects, he was not proud, nor was he anxious to rule the kingdom. And King Gaya used to perform, then it says, he was highly intelligent and expert in studying all the Vedic literatures. He maintained all religious principles, and he had all kinds of opulences. He was the leader among gentlemen and a servant of the devotees. He was a qualified plenary expansion of the Supreme Lord. You see what the planet Earth did. That is said here. Yasya prajanam dudhe darashisho nirashisho guna vatsa snutoda. It says, the planet Earth personified came as a cow, and as though she saw her calf, she delivered milk profusely when she saw all the good qualities of Maharaj Gaya. In other words, Maharaj Gaya was able to derive all benefits from the earth and thus satisfy the desires of his citizens. However, he personally had no desire. That means a king should be desireless personally. He should not be even desiring to occupy the post, first of all. He accepts the post which is called as a healthy possession of power. What is healthy possession of power? To serve others. That is the purpose of occupying the post, not for self-aggrandizement. And he was a devotee of the Lord. He knew that the life in this world is temporary. I am simply, like Prabhupada used to say, postal peon. I am using these things, take the resources and use it for the welfare of the public and ultimately bring them to God. Finally he became strict devotee means what? Earlier one may have a desire to get elevation to heaven. But when one becomes a strict devotee, one gives up that desire also. One simply wants to serve the Lord and return back home to Godhead. One wants to become unalloyed devotee. I heard in Bhagavatam, in Prithu Maharaja's kingdom, all the citizens aimed at the spiritual world. Nobody desired even to go to heaven. That kind of education he had given them. So training and education for the citizens is a very vital aspect of the king. And punishing the rogues and thieves, and preserving Varnashrama Dharma, which means all the four orders should be preserved. What is the relevance of this purport to our practical life in ISKCON? ISKCON is taking many measures to fulfill the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, the students are going astray, watching the movies, watching pornography sites, and misbehaving with women, and becoming degraded, becoming adulterated and all that, taking to drugs, committing suicide and all that. There are some of the top institutes, a dozen students commit suicide every year. So our preaching to the college students is bringing many students to understand what is Bhagavad Gita, what is Bhagavatam, get enlightened. And Prabhupada wanted to recruit intelligent young youth as leaders of the society. Because children and youth are leaders of tomorrow. And Prabhupada's books are so enlightening. And they should get an opportunity to access this knowledge. And we should give them that opportunity. See, we may not be very powerful, but we can at least do the activity of connecting the intelligent people to Prabhupada's books. Once they get an access, it's a gold mine. They can do so much. In the same manner, a congregation who is coming to ISKCON temples, the women get so many services. Making garlands, making jewelry, making dress for the deities, and there are classes for the women, and they are becoming pure in character, following the principle of no illicit sex. They become perfect in their character, and they feel very protected in the community of devotees. Similarly, the children are given bal sanskar also. The men are given knowledge. The men gradually take diksha, and they become subordinate to guru. Because when man is under guru and woman is submissive to man and children, Prabhupada says the husband should be protective, wife should be chaste and children should be grateful. That is the meaning of a family. And then the whole family can go back to Godhead. The men are also getting enlightened by hearing the Bhagavatam classes, Bhagavad Gita classes, studying books, rendering service in various ways. So, and unfortunately the administrators are not doing their part. They are not playing their part. So, Srila Prabhupada in his old age took so much trouble in Bombay, in Vrindavan, and in Mayapur. Three places Prabhupada traveled again and again to establish these temples. And this was his desire. And when we accept the role of a leader, we should never forget Prabhupada's hard endeavors, so much of efforts. And we should take care not to become afflicted by the Kali Yuga's vices. We should be extremely cautious. We should not fall prey to infatuation or distractions. And we should remain protected by chanting the Maha Mantra regularly as prescribed by Prabhupada and following the four regulative principles very strictly. And accepting the role of a leader as in the mood of a servant and fulfilling our duties to our subordinates, first by ourselves becoming exemplary. Prabhupada said, yes, preaching is very good, Prabhupada said. And the first work of preaching is preaching to oneself, he said. Preaching to ourselves. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki. Thank you very much.